Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
A lot of things change when you go to a wedding when you're 25 years old versus being like 45 or 35, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. I actually just had a great example of that this past weekend. So I went to a friend's kid's wedding, and ironically, a lot of the younger people at the wedding, as a matter of fact, know my son. So that was interesting too. But we got sat at a table full of people that I've never met before. Mm-hmm. So it was all those variables, right? We went in, we knew the parents, we knew the kids, of course, that were getting married. And that was basically everybody we knew inside the room. Happy to be invited. It was a wonderful time, beautiful couple, great party. So going to a wedding without your people is definitely a different experience in itself. Mm-hmm. But then when you get there and then you realize, like, you know, like, I know all the music, all right? I've seen people dance before, but, you know, there's just some adjustments, right? Without your circle, that whole vibe is different. Watching people. I mean, I went into the bathroom at one point in the evening. It was like somebody had had a vomit exorcism in there. It was terrible. And all I thought to myself was, kids.
That's disgusting.
It was absolutely horrid. And this is a nice place, top end place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was absolutely eye-opening. When's the last wedding you went to?
So here's the thing is, like, when I was 25 years old, mm-hmm. all my friends were getting married.
Oh, yeah, everybody. It is, right? In 1 year, you'll have, like, 8 friends get married.
No, I had 1 year where we had 12 weddings.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was in 4 of them.
Oh, my gosh.
And I always say that's why me and Paul were broke. Like, we started off our marriage broke mm-hmm. because we had so many weddings that year. Who was getting married in Mexico, and who was getting married here? And oh, now we have to be in this. We have to go to all these bachelorettes. But let me tell you, it was a good time. And now, back then, when I was 25, and I would get an invitation in the mail to a wedding, I'd be like, oh, my gosh, another one. And I'd be like, uh-huh. and I would be upset. Now.
You get it.
Oh, I'm so excited.
You circle the calendar, right? Because you don't have a job to do. You're just going,
I'm
right?
so excited to go to a wedding, to have a reason to get dressed up. Mm-hmm. Another massive difference from going to a wedding when I was 25 versus now in my early 40s is that I remember when I was 25 years old and there was a wedding coming up,
mm-hmm.
I would be on a diet and I wouldn't eat for like a week leading up to the event. And I would buy the tightest, cutest dress that I could possibly find. And now I buy a loose dress because mm-hmm. I need room to consume all the food that is there.
Or in case you have, you know, some ups and downs before you even get to that day.
Oh, no. And then I make sure that we stop at a fast food restaurant before we go to the reception.
Oh, my gosh.
Just in case the food is terrible that I already ate something to last me to after the reception is over.
Regarding the travel to and from a wedding before, there is no way I would want to drive. You know, somebody's picking me up. I want to be in the limo. Is there a party bus? Whatever it may be. And of course, after party, never to be ruled out. This past wedding, we were there. We showed up 5 minutes before the ceremony started. We drove ourselves. My wife drove home. We couldn't get home quick enough. I think I was sleeping by the time we pulled in the driveway.
When I see a wedding that ends at like midnight, I'm like, oh my gosh.
How will we make it?
We have to take a nap before we leave.
That's right.
What we're going to have to do. If there is a stranger available, my husband will talk to them.
Yeah.
If you're in a relationship with a yapper, you know exactly what this feels like. I always thought it was one of the most endearing parts of our relationship was that he was able to talk to absolutely anyone at any time.
Any place.
Yeah. But I find myself now doing the, babe, let's go.
Yeah,
babe,
let's move it along.
Let's go. He loves to strike up conversations with strangers and get into deep, meaningful conversations with these people.
That's funny because, you know, a lot of times when you're dealing with strangers, a lot of people won't say hello at all.
Well, right.
Other people will just have kind of like a surface thing, something, you know, superficial even.
I always think people think that I'm the yapper because this is what I do for a living. I talk on the radio, but it's actually not true. I'm kind of quiet outside of the studio.
Sure.
But my husband is the opposite. I always say it's because he's a finance guy. Because he just deals with Excel spreadsheets and numbers all day.
Yeah.
So I think like the minute he gets out there, all he wants to do is talk to people.
Human interaction. He's thirsting for it.
And this weekend, it came all rushing back to me how often he does this. Because I signed him up for one of those stretch places, you know, like where they stretch you out. you know, he always has pain and whatever.
Yeah.
So I was like, let's go check it out. Now, when I had gone the week previously, I laid there in complete silence for 20 minutes while I just let them work out all my muscles and did all the things, and it was fantastic. The first thing my husband does when he lays down is he talks that guy's ear off. How long have you been doing this? How did you get into this? When did these stretch places become a thing?
Wow.
Do you need certification to do this?
I mean, can the guy concentrate when you're asking all these questions?
Who knows, Raven?
Right.
Who knows?
Right, okay.
And I talked to him about it last night.
Mm. Do you consider yourself a very social person?
No, not at all.
You talk to everybody everywhere we go.
Yeah.
But why do you strike up conversations with so many strangers?
I don't know, just feel like talking to somebody.
You know, you can talk to me.
I do. I live with you. I talk to you all the time.
Yeah.
He's like, I need conversation out of that.
Right. He's like anybody else.
All right. A little bit of revealing.
Yeah. I mean, like if he goes into Home Depot, I refuse to go because those old guys that work at Home Depot, live to talk.
Oh, definitely.
He's like, here's just a group of people that want to talk about absolute nonsense.
I told you that's my retirement plan is I'm going to be that guy. You come in for one specific thing. We're going to talk for 45 minutes and you're going to leave without the thing that you came for.
My teenager will refuses to go to doctor appointments with him. Only I can take her because he asks too many questions and he engages too much with the people. So I've made a list of places that Paul has struck up conversations with strangers.
Okay.
And you tell me, is it appropriate or not?
Okay. I'm a pretty social person myself, too. So, I mean, I feel like I'm pretty open to this.
The deli counter at the grocery store.
Oh, no. Here's the thing. There's always those people that are making best friends with the deli counter guy. And besides my samples and a thin slice and a hello, how's it going, that type of thing, I think you got to move on after that, right? Because I'm waiting over here for my cold cuts.
How about the landscaper when they're actually working in the yard?
No. Leave the landscaper alone.
Nope. Here's Paul. Hey! Hey! What do you think that is over there? What do you think that's growing?
I mean, I don't know. It's his job to take care of it. Just let him deal with it.
He's got to take the noise-canceling headphones off, turn off the lawnmower. He's like, what?
He's like, I got six more places to do today, Paul.
How about any person doing work on our house? Contractor, plumbing, pest control company, chimney people. They walk in, Paul's talking to them.
I mean, you know, paying attention and talking to them before the job begins is one thing. Watching, you know, periodically while it's going on. But while they're on the roof, don't talk your ear off, you know?
Be right up there with them. Yeah. Hold on. Let me put on my boots. I'll be right up. Amazon delivery person.
Say hello. You see how quickly these people are driving? You see how quickly they bound off the truck and bound back on? Thanks for the package. That's it. Move on. Don't engage. Hey, would you like water? That's about all you can do.
If you're married to a yapper, you know exactly how I feel.
Mm.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
Three news stories that are trending right now. You only get to hear one. Raven picks which one it is. Today's selection, Raven.
What do you got?
Number one, man arrested for illegally keeping alligators in his pool.
I mean, depending on where you are, how illegal is that? If it's in my neighborhood, I want it to be illegal. If it's somewhere else, I mean,
so it's other people having live alligators in their neighbor's pool, that's cool?
I mean, it's, you know, certain environments you just expect it to happen. If you have a pool and you live somewhere where there's alligators, I would check the water every time you come out at night.
Number two, Trump assassination attempt suspect kept a horse in his house.
That's even a story? Come on.
Number three, Nobel Prize winners studied animals breathing from their behinds.
This is a family show. I'm going to go with the horse living in your living room. Why not?
Okay. Mm. The neighbor of the failed Trump assassination attempt suspect claims that he kept a live horse inside of his home.
Wow.
Here is Kim Mungo talking about her former neighbor and would-be assassin of former President Trump kept a horse inside of his house.
Only thing I seen, they had a horse in the house. I mean, a whole live horse in the house, but they were, kind of weird in the house where the living room is at. Put hay all in there and the big old live horse. I told all my friends because they didn't believe me. I took a picture of the horse in the house.
She said she took a picture of the horse and sent it to her friends. They didn't believe her.
I believe in the first line she said a whole live horse, right?
Like,
like as if half of it would be in there. If the window's open and your horse walks up to the window, like, you know, that's okay, right? The horse sticks his head in and says hello. That's all right.
When I was very, very young, Mr. Ed was a thing. And I don't even, it must have been in reruns at that point because I was born in the 80s. And I remember being so fascinated with Mr. Ed because he was a talking horse. And for some reason, I imagine this horse can talk. Because if it's living in the living room, Right? Don't you think?
You're spending a lot of time with it, right? You're having discussions. I mean, if you talk to an animal or a houseplant long enough, I guess a lot of people do believe that they talk back, right?
I don't know. What's the one thing that you saw at your neighbor's house? Mm. You like peeked in their windows or they had on their property and you were like, that's weird.
You know what? Yeah. So on the property, I mean, two come to mind. So I had one time I lived near a neighbor that they had like sculptures all over their yard.
Oh.
And I'm talking like not small things, like, you know, like you get landscaping stuff. I'm talking a huge, like, structures, right? Metal, some were wood, all different colors. And you know, the thing about art is when you look at it, you have no idea, right? What is that? What are you talking about? I used to drive by this other house, had three dolphins surrounding a football. I had no idea what that was about. But
have something to do with the Miami Dolphins?
I mean, I guess it would, but far from Miami, this house was, let me tell you. Mm. And then the first house that my wife and I bought, Alicia and I bought, we had a neighbor that literally had, I don't know, like four different lawnmowers all on his yard that he would never put away. I mean, a couple of them obviously were not working at this point. Tons of tall, high grass, but he had like 50 gas cans. And I'm not saying stacked or in a row or whatever. They were strewn all over the property, and they didn't look like they were old or anything. It was like, how often do you run out of gas? How often do you buy a new gas can and you leave it out here?
Who would you rather live next door to, the gas can guy or the guy that's got the horse in his living room?
Well, knowing what we know now at this point,
right.
I guess that's an easy decision, even
right.
Still.
True. If you've ever applied for a new job, you know how hard it is to get your resume noticed. You only have 6 seconds when a live person is reviewing a resume to catch their attention before they move on to the next one.
It's really crazy, right? And I mean, in the digital age, half the time, you don't even think that somebody's ever going to see it in general.
They won't. A lot of times now it's AI, and
yeah.
We're going to get to some tips for AI coming up in just a minute. But so think about every time you apply for a job, the amount of people that apply for each job is 118. And if it's double that, if it's a corporate job.
Yeah.
So how do you get these people's attention so you stand out from the rest? Well, one company has an idea.
Today, Pizza Hut helps you break through with Pizza Hut Resumes. All you have to do is go to resumes.com, upload your intel, upload your CV, have it slapped on a Pizza Hut takeout box, and they'll send it to an employer of your dreams.
Wait a minute. It's an unsolicited pizza that just shows up with your resume on it?
Yep, printed on the box. I think like the first time you're an HR person and you get the Pizza Hut box with the resume, you're like, oh,
yeah.
All right.
Innovative, right? Clever, interesting. And I hope the pizza's good.
But then 17 pizzas later and it's like, you know, 1 o'clock and you're like, wait a minute. What am I going to do with all this pizza?
Well, I mean, I don't think the pizza is the problem. I think, like, you know, after that, it's not that clever, right? So then you're just like, all right, guys, another free pizza, you know, and then you just toss it over your shoulder once again. You know, do you even give it a glance at that point? The person who comes up with the idea, you know, 3 weeks after everybody else has done it is not as clever, right?
It's true.
Not as innovative.
Imagine in 3 months, you listen back to this podcast. You're like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to listen. I'm going to send that Pizza Hut box. And then all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, everybody else in the world has already done this.
So I remember a time in media, like in radio, when you were soliciting a job, like, you know, basically there's a demo attached, all that stuff. There's audio, you know, as you're familiar. And if you're not familiar, that's how it is. Like, there's all those things. But you would send a package too. Like, and in there would be something clever or funny or whatever if you wanted to stand out, you know, glitter bombs, anything like that. Right? Some of these things work better than others.
I would recommend not sending glitter bombs to HR companies anymore.
Yeah, didn't get that job.
No, I can't imagine. But the crazy part is like, at least with the human, you have a shot. You have a shot to make an impression. Now, most companies are using AI because they're getting so many resumes, they're filtering it out. So what should you do to your resume to stand out? Because you got to get past the robot.
Right.
Start by customizing or tweaking your resume for each application to make it match.
I mean, that's important anyway. Every time, even though it's so time-consuming and annoying, you have to.
You have to keep in mind that these are computers that are scanning over your stuff. You know, it's AI again. So, like, the language is very important. The buzzwords, the keywords, all that stuff, very important.
Within that, look for keywords and phrases from the original posting that you can use to describe your job experience.
Literally have to repeat, like, what in the resume is what the job description is. Find the exact same words and incorporate it into your resume.
Mm-hmm.
and use a standard format, avoiding pictures or strange fonts that might confuse the AI.
I know that the font thing is a big thing, but I thought putting photos in, like, you know, with like a headshot at the top was supposed to be a good thing. But now they're saying it's a bad thing because it fools the robots and the robots don't know what to do with that.
Computer doesn't care what you look like.
I guess not. No. I mean, do they see this cheek structure? That doesn't make any sense at all. Can we normalize putting funny things on headstones again?
Oh.
Yeah. Raven, producer John, producer Sean, earlier this week, Sean said this on the show.
You know, my family, it's a strange thing that we do where we already have, like, our plots of land of where we're going to be buried picked out.
You?
Oh, yeah.
You have one?
Yep.
Yeah.
And what? I also already have, like, at my head, like, my headstone kind of set and, like, set and done. So I could order it whenever I want. And then all they got to do really is etch when I pass on it.
All right. The first part of that is not all that crazy. I mean, because if you want all to be in the same spot, that's one thing. But the second part of that.
Well, Sean, have you thought about what you're going to etch into your headstone that you already have?
He won't do it.
I have thought of things like, you know, maybe dig here. I am buried with a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Entice grave robbers. But I think I might just stick with something like kind of fun and classic. Like, you know, like Here Lies Sean Shillow, or So He Wants You to Think.
Oh, all right.
Leave people in mystery.
Okay.
Right. So like you're on an island with like Elvis and
like Tupac.
Right.
I might be like John McAfee, man.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm alive somewhere and I just want you to believe I'm gone.
Yeah. All right. I looked up the five most popular things that people have etched into their headstones.
Oh, this is cool. Like back in the day, you used to be able to peruse the cemetery and there'd be jokes and whatnot.
These are the common ones.
Oh, okay.
These are the ones everybody picks.
All right, go.
In loving memory. Boo.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
I mean, no disrespect to the dead, but sure. Yeah, okay, boo. Yep. It's playing with some karma.
Rest in peace. I mean, we all, like, please. How many rest in peace signs do we possibly need on these gravestones?
We're resting.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're resting.
Gone, but not forgotten.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Forever in our hearts. And then the last one, deeply mourned. Fondly loved.
You know what? I'm with John, actually. I don't want to kick any jokes on this
Doesn't it feel like there's going to be a gaping portal to somewhere else opening below us?
All right, but moving on, there's definitely things that we could do better.
So all these old guys had these funny things on their gravestones, like Rodney Dangerfield wrote, "There goes the neighborhood," right? That was funny. Okay. Merv Griffin. I mean, that's like the guy that created all the most iconic game shows in the world, Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune. He wrote back on his headstone, it says, "I will not be right back after this message."
Mm.
I mean, that's hilarious.
Good.
That's good.
Right?
That's very good.
Okay. Mel Blanc. Now, if that name doesn't sound familiar, he's the guy of 1,000 voices. So he was Bugs Bunny, Porky Pig, Daffy Duck, Tweety Bird, Yosemite Sam, Foghorn, Leghorn, all those, right?
What'd he say? That's all, folks?
That's all, folks.
Yeah. Nice.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, not bad.
Yes.
Not nice. Bad.
So I started thinking about it. Okay. All right. Sean is going to basically allude to the fact that he's not actually buried there and alive somewhere. Mm-hmm. What is going to be on your headstone, John?
It's just going to be a QR code that links to my Spotify for my band. It's going to be great. People are going to be able to posthumously listen to my music. Maybe I'll be like Picasso. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
I'll die in poverty. But afterward, I'll be remembered as a legend.
Wait a minute.
Dead people have the best publicists.
Just a QR code. I don't know why more people aren't doing it.
Because in 20 years, nobody's going to know what a QR code. They're going to be like, it's going to be the same as rewinding a cassette tape with a pencil.
I don't know whether to be happy about the fact she gave you 20 years or unhappy.
I know. Yeah.
Okay.
Felt short.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of felling short, that's actually part that leads right into mine is another foot he would have made it. That's what I want to put on there. I want to imagine myself, you know, passing in some sort of heroic fashion, right? Like I'm jumping from a building or something like that. Like, you know, Tom Cruise leaping from one thing to another. And everything, you know, hinges on me. If I make it, we're all going to make it. And if I don't, well, another foot he would have made it.
It's good.
You know? Somebody's going to walk by that headstone one day and be like, "Mommy, what does that mean?" And she's like, "Just keep walking. Who knows?" And
that's probably tripped, yeah.
I mean, mine is the most obvious one. Off the air.
Oh.
Right? Yes. Because you're on the air, and then you're gonna, and then I'm done.
Yeah. So
off the air.
You imagine yourself dying in the seat is what you're saying
I
right
mean,
now?
At this rate, probably. Yes. It's been a household name for so many years, and now filing for bankruptcy.
Aww.
Well, Tupperware Brands preparing to file for bankruptcy as soon as this week. It has enlisted legal and financial advisors after it couldn't make a debt payment. Tupperware was founded 77 years ago, but its business model has not kept up with competition.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, you ever go to the Tupperware website to see how much those containers cost?
They are super pricey.
They're expensive, yeah. Like $27 for like a container to, I mean, I get it. They're like the Rolls Royce of keeping your food good for a couple days.
They're durable. Like, they'll last for decades. It's true. Like, we have very old Tupperware, you know, different items that you get, like, from your parents or whatever from back in the day. But I do like the more, it's cheaper now, the takeaway stuff. Well, like, the Ziploc stuff or whatever, it's easier.
So, there's two people I blame here.
Okay.
All right. I blame Ziploc because Ziploc bag was smart and they came up with bags. You're like, wait a minute, I don't have to put this in a container. I can put this in a bag. And that was really genius.
Yeah, that was genius.
Yeah.
That was just save you some space.
And it goes in the freezer. Like, hello.
Yeah.
That was smart. Like, you know, Tupperware should have immediately ripped off that idea and come out with their own bags. And they never did that. And then I also blame Chinese food restaurants because all of a sudden you realize that. Yeah. Like, the Chinese food, they would send these cheap containers. And, like, now I feel like they're all plastic, but the paper ones, the oyster pails they're called.
Yeah.
You could use that.
Well,
and people were like, wait a minute, I could put this in the dishwasher, wash it, and then I could store my food in here, my leftovers.
Paper ones? No. I mean, the plastic ones,
the
obviously.
Plastic ones.
Yes,
so you could use the paper ones over again, too.
Yeah, that sounds gross. But, you know, the plastic cheaper ones, just it's more lightweight. You don't care when you send it off with somebody, so you don't care if it comes back. I mean, it's more practical in that regard.
My aunt, my Zierita, had so much Tupperware.
Yeah.
And every Thanksgiving, because she would host Thanksgiving, I would take as much as I could. And
steal it from her?
Because she would package it in there, right? And she had the good ones, like the ones that you could put soup. Oh, you know when you have a soup Tupperware? Now I realized I must have stolen $650 worth of Tupperware from her over the years.
I mean, at the very least, destroyed her retirement, really, by taking it out of there. Yeah, it was very pricey, but, you know, again, it would hold up for a long time. But we're kind of a temporary society now, right? Give me something that lasts for what I need right now, and that's it.
All right. So, I mean, they're saying this is a restructure, so they'll be back. They're not gone forever. Okay. But in other news, Delta Airline released a memo and telling all the new hires that they have to wear underwear.
Oh.
Yep. It's part of the handbook, and it says no skirts above the knee. Okay. All clothes must fit properly, and we should not be able to see the underwear you are wearing, and we are mandating that you wear it.
I mean, it sounds like there's not one incident, more than one incident.
Something had to have happened.
If you put out a company-wide memo, right?
Well, I'm like, you know, I've reached a point in my life where, like, I wear regular full booty underwear.
Yeah.
And I think, with the tight pair of jeans, you could probably see the line through it. Are they saying you can't do that anymore? Like, what are we supposed to be? What?
I didn't hear a model number as far as exactly what kind of underwear. I just heard that you're supposed to wear it, number one. Number two, you shouldn't be able to see it. I mean, I think that they mean, like, when you sit down with the skirt, maybe?
Or are they talking about, like, 1994 when we would pull our thongs up so it would come out the back of our jeans?
Yeah.
Do they want us not to do that? Yeah. Because Katy Perry's trying to bring that back.
I was going
to
say, she's doing that
again. Yeah, I'm not into that.
Yeah.
But I think more companies should jump on this because, I mean, shouldn't we all just be wearing underwear? Or is that a personal decision?
It's a personal decision, I think. As long as it's not exposed out there. Again, a la Katy Perry, if you're not doing that, then you're probably fine.
I have a lot to think about.
Okay.
Do you ever see a sign and it's so strange that you wonder to yourself, what happened here that this sign had to be posted? Raven producer Sean, my CVS has a pharmacy and that's where I get my medication. And
CVS has a pharmacy.
Well, okay. Right. Yeah. It's always very, very busy.
Yeah.
And I will say, I don't think they're very efficient, but that's, it's, you know, it is what it is. I think you could probably argue that for everywhere you go.
Sure.
Right. Okay. There is a sign that has been posted multiple places, and it says, if you exhibit any hostility to the staff, you will not be served. I'm so curious because, like, the interviewer in me wants to be like, so, hey.
Yeah.
Hey, what happened that we have to post all these signs over here? But you know what I did notice about the signs? Because they're posted everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm so nice.
Oh. You're afraid to even speak.
I'm afraid.
Yes.
I'm like, how are you?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. my birthday? Yeah. Oh, thank you for asking.
Yeah.
You know,
DMVs, RMVs across the country, like those signs have been up for a long time, right? It's places where oftentimes there's going to be interactions. People are emotionally charged. They're not getting what they need, right? Or why didn't the insurance do this? Or why didn't the doctor send this script? Or why haven't you filled this yet? So people get worked up. Once you put that sign up, right, it's a warning. It's like, you'll deplane. It's like, you know what I mean? We'll pull you off this flight. You're like, I just really need my antibiotics.
Do I have any questions for the pharmacist? Not today, but thank you so much.
Wouldn't dream of it.
For even asking me that question.
Would not ask you.
I was thinking, like, what is the strangest sign that you've seen posted somewhere?
You know, I see a sign. Rachel and I went on vacation recently. We went to visit her family. And I saw a sign that said, while we're driving, beware of cows. Not cow crossing, because at first that's what I thought. I'm like, you know, you see like deer crossing signs. It just said, beware of cows.
What are they going to do?
And that's what I said.
Yes.
They can do anything.
I'm like, did someone get like mauled by a cow?
Maybe.
Like, what happened?
You have no idea. You have no clue.
Yeah, one of the strangest things I ever saw was, you know, when you get to areas where people will be crossing and it's a deserted highway and they'll show like a family crossing the highway on a sign. But, you know, with road trips, talking about, you know, going and visiting people, I remember when I was road tripping one time, there's this place, Wall Drug. Have you ever heard of Wall Drug?
No.
Okay, well, it's massive, it's huge, and it's also awesome. It's like a conglomerate of all these cool little, like, you know, convenience stores from back in the day where they have all this weird stuff, right? Just Google it and you'll see it. But here's the thing about Wall Drug. Wherever you're driving from, the signs are up for like 1,500 miles before you're there. And it'll say 1,672 miles to go to Wall Drug, and it'll have a photo of like one of the rooms and all this weird stuff in there. Like it was totally wild.
I mean, just give you a heads up.
Yeah, if you want to go see like the world's biggest ball of twine or whatever, like they have a lot of those things. The world's largest number two pencil. Wall Drug, it's only 1,408 miles to go.
It's funny. Jessica, how about you? The strangest sign you've ever seen?
So I went into our local pharmacy, and there was a big sign hanging over the counter that said, your husband called. He said you can buy anything you want.
I've seen that at stores, like, to be funny.
Have you?
Yeah, in Nashville. I think that's funny. I like when they're funny things that are, you know, you're in on the joke.
Yeah. Yeah, if the sign is funny, I appreciate it more than the other one that's just trying to sell me something. I think of signs as being things to entice me in.
Right. Not to give you a warning. Like, don't talk back. Don't make eye contact.
Right.
What's the most unique sign you've ever seen? 1-800-330-9999. My CVS has a picture up, a framed sign that says, if you exhibit any hostility to the staff, you will not be served. And I find it terrifying, but I also want to know what happened that we have to put up these signs.
It's funny because there's messages all around us, right? Like even in this room, when I look around, there's signage. There's things that you could read from. But so much of it just goes right by you because you see it all day and night. A memorable sign, you'll hold on to that.
Stanley, what did you see?
Well, my last year in the Army, I was out processing, and I'm in the finance department, and the only thing you want to do is get the heck out of there. And there's a sign right there that says, failure to prepare on your part does not constitute an emergency on our part.
Well, I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, so if you don't have your stuff in order, you're going nowhere, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you just want to get out of there. Of course, you have no idea what you're supposed to have in order.
Right.
They're just trying to get there, and then they tell you. It's not like the DMV where you got a website, and they're like, here's everything, all the documents you need, your social security card, everything.
Yeah.
You go back like five times, and all you want to do is get out of there.
Typical of a government agency. Right?
Lane, what's the sign that you saw?
So I'm always laughing right on I-95, the pool company that has that billboard that says your wife is hot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the big exclamation point after, your wife is hot.
With the the lady sitting on the diving board in the corner. Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
It's effective,
every day, eye-catching. Right?
We all know that I don't know what company it is, but I definitely remember
you know
billboard.
The sign.
Yeah.
Right. Joe, what was that sign you saw?
So the most unique sign I saw, we were on our way to Oklahoma, and it said, do not pick up hitchhikers. They may be escaped prisoners.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, at least it tells you straight up. It's like, here's what's up.
Because you're like, why?
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
Oh, my gosh. I would not stop.
I know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Hey, Anthony. Unique sign that you saw. What did it say?
Okay, it's in my barbershop that I go to get my hair cut.
Mm-hmm.
It says, Wi-Fi password. We don't have one. Act like it's the 70s and 80s and talk to each other.
Ah.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
They have one. They just don't want to give it to you.
Right.
So they
right.
put
they
up
don't want
that
y'all
sign.
On it. Right. But they believe in the internet, too.
Luke, strangest sign you saw in a store.
A few weeks ago, I went into my local hardware store, and it's a place I go all the time. They've always had restrooms available. You could just go and use them, whatever. They had a sign on the front door that said, public restroom no longer available. You know what you did.
Oh, my gosh. Who did it? And what did they do? Something terrible, I guess.
Something terrible.
Something I don't even want to imagine.
Filthy. Horrible.
Was it filthy? It has to be, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, all the things that I can think that fit under the category that I would ban the bathroom for public use, they're all filthy in one way or another.
Yucky, right?
Yes.
That's a... Now, they see, one bad person ruins it for everybody.
Yeah.
Do you ever see an animal and you had no idea what type of animal it was? I was at a grocery store with my daughters, my 15-year-old and my 5-year-old, and we were just doing our thing, going up and down the aisles, Raven, with our cart.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Hayden, my 15-year-old, goes, Ma, what is that? And I looked down, and it was a creature, insect, that I had never seen before that was literally the size of my hand, if not bigger.
Thank you for clarifying, because when you say, you know, animal, you know, I think that you're going to talk about like a bobcat, a cheetah, something like that, right?
It was an insect. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I go, I have no idea what it is. So I immediately take out my phone and start videoing it. And you can see the video of it on our Instagram at Anna and Raven. It's up right now. And I was like, filming it, and we're like, oh my gosh, like, what is it? Because it was so big, we'd never seen it. Mm-hmm. And here comes a woman in the opposite direction with her car, and I'm like, she's gonna run over this thing, and the thing's not moving.
Yeah,
it's not moving.
Yeah, they move slow.
And I say, ma'am, watch where you're going, there's a giant thing there,
right?
And she looked at it and she goes, oh, it's a praying mantis.
Yeah, they're nice.
She's like, what's a praying mantis doing in the grocery store?
Yeah.
She was like, oh, they're great. She's like, we need to let somebody know so you can get it outside. So I was like, okay. So I went back and where the yogurts were, and there was a man stalking, and I told him, and he took a box and said he would take care of it.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened after that. That's the end of the story. But I didn't
you
really...
You moved on with your life.
Exactly. But I had never seen a praying mantis before, so I got home and I started doing some research and learned...
When you think about the world's deadliest insects...
What?
The praying mantis could be one of the first things that come to mind.
What?
And with good reason.
That lady made it sound like this thing was a complete saint.
I mean, it's probably not going to kill you. I think that should be put in that audio.
The praying mantis got its name from its front legs. The mantis religiosa has legs that bend and fold together in a prayer-like position.
Okay.
Once it spots prey, the mantis will either wait until it approaches or stalk it before grabbing it quickly with its front legs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a natural-born killer.
Kind of like a reality TV show, like dating show person that's on like every show. Like they're just there, lying in wait, ready to get them.
Some praying mantises can fly. Most adult praying mantis species have wings. It's also more common for males to have wings than females.
Why?
I think they're smaller.
What? So the guys get to have the wings, but the girls don't have wings?
Well, there's some good reason why guys need to run, so...
So that's it? So men can flee? That's why we're giving them wings now?
I mean, do more research.
Mating can be deadly for male mantises.
What?
One of the most widespread facts about these insects is how females devour males while mating.
See?
However,
See?
It doesn't always happen. Female mantises would only eat her partner if she feels particularly hungry or agitated. Brutally tearing his head off and eating the corpse.
Wait a minute.
See?
First of all...
I mean, we need some wings if we're guys, right? You entice me, we think we're going to hook up, maybe have babies or whatever, and then you eat me.
Listen to that.
Feels particularly hungry or agitated.
The only when the women are particularly hungry or agitated. Guys, I'm always hungry and agitated. I would literally...
You'll eat anybody.
I'll just destroy
anybody.
Eat. And then he says...
It's a good thing...
Brutally tearing his head off and eating the corpse.
But, yeah, it's a good thing Paul's bigger than you.
What, brutally ripping its head off and eating the corpse?
Yeah.
I was in 2 feet of this praying mantis. Imagine. No wonder why it was at a grocery store. It was hungry. I should have fed the poor thing.
Good thing it was woman to woman. That's all I'm saying, right?
All I ever wanted to do was serve on jury duty. For a month, I've been looking forward to this past week because I was called finally for a second time to go in. And just like the first time a few years ago, I called the night before and they told me, nope, we're good. You don't have to come in. You've been excused.
Yeah.
Oh.
I hate to say I told you so, but I mean, I had that feeling, right?
Well,
like, you know, your day will come. You'll be on a jury sometime, and you'll probably be bored. But maybe it'll be interesting when it finally comes around.
I received so many text messages on our text line here at the studio and from people being like, why are you excited? Why do you want to do it? I wasn't the only one excited, and I know why they bumped me.
Sure.
I know why.
Why?
Because you know who was called to jury duty?
Who's that?
David Letterman. Here he is this week. On the day that I was supposed to go.
Same day.
Yep. Talking about his experience with the paparazzi.
How are you enjoying jury duty?
What a great process to be a part of it. I'm excited about
it. I love that for you. How much longer do you have?
Until Labor Day.
I think he was just messing with the paparazzi. I don't think he'll be serving till Labor Day of next year. That doesn't make any sense at all.
That wouldn't make sense. I think it's usually like 2 weeks or less.
Yeah, so he went. He got called. He actually got to go to the court. I never even made it to the court. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. And and the judge like asked him, "Are you a Colts fan?" All these things, and
it's not a lawsuit about the Colts.
No,
by the way,
the judge
just wanted to be his friend,
right? Because it was David Letterman.
Yeah,
yeah. And guess what? He was excused after that. They didn't want him.
See that?
Yeah. But you know what? Famous people show up on court cases all the time. So Kim Kardashian, Lizzo, Taylor Swift, Gigi Hadid, Brad Pitt, George Bush—they've all been called to jury duty. And actually, Oprah Winfrey, Tom Hanks, and Anna Kendrick have all served on a jury.
You know what? I mean, how would you feel about that, right? Like when somebody's coming in there, because the whole thing about the jury is you want somebody to relate to you, right? You want somebody to understand you.
Yeah, no, Tom Hanks definitely understands me.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay.
Also trending today, it's back. And when I first heard it, I was like, who wants this to be back? But they're saying there's been a high demand for it.
Mm.
Victoria's Secret Fashion Show will be back on TV for the first time October 15th. This is the first time since the old company canceled it back in 2019. So 2018 was the first time it happened. And I was like,
who
cares?
Who's calling for it?
Who?
Right.
They said a million people have been requesting it. Guess who's headlining the all-female performances?
Go ahead.
The one person that I'll watch it for. Do you believe
in life after love? Well, I mean, I love me some Cher.
Oh, when I was like, oh, Cher's? Cher's going to be performing?
Yeah.
I guess I'll... Yeah, no, I'll be available, I guess. I'll watch that.
I love Cher. But unless Cher called and asked, like, I'm not buying that people were asking for it. They're doing it. It's to put their marketing back out in front. They've had ups and downs over the last few years. They're not... nobody's calling for this. Nobody marched or protest because they got rid of it last time. As a matter of fact, as you remember, when they got rid of it, it was because they were criticized because they were only showing those types of bodies, a certain type of body, and projecting that type of person.
I mean, it's the supermodels that are over 6 feet tall and they've never seen an ounce of fat.
110 pounds, right? So, I mean, if they're going to do a better job with that, that's great. That's commendable. I think they have to, but nobody was asking for this.
But the Angels will be back. The Wings will be back, and they're saying it's a lot of old school just brought back, but now we have Cher, which makes it interesting enough for me to want to watch.
Okay.
Yep.
What couple?
At 28, he's still exactly the same.
I get what she's saying, and I mean, I'm not proud of it or anything.
One problem.
Marty is just one of those really picky eaters.
You decide the outcome.
I mean, I'm not going to not go out to eat with my husband, but I guess I don't really have a choice, so.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Allison and Eric. Allison, what's going on?
So I haven't worked for 10 years. My husband, Eric, and I have been fine with that. I had a crazy job. It was super stressful. It was a toxic environment. And we decided at the time that I would not work. And it was fine financially then. But now it's tighter. We're a little older. We're, you know, struggling a little bit. It's not as comfortable as it was. And crazy, my old boss called me and asked me to come back to work, which is something I do not want to do because I cannot go back into that environment. But Eric really wants me to go back to work. So I would like to not and keep looking for something else. I've been having a hard time finding something, but I definitely can't go back to that office.
Eric, why would you force your wife to go back somewhere that she calls toxic?
I wouldn't say I'm forcing her, but it's just she's had such a gap in her resume, which was something we decided on together, but you know, if this just seems like the low-hanging fruit. I mean, the rest of the stuff really hasn't been panning out. It's a really tough market right now. So to have the opportunity to go somewhere and get that baseline down the resume is just going to make it so much easier to get something she likes. And I get it. I'm very sympathetic to the fact that this work environment was not good for her But it's just getting your foot back in the door, you know, is important, I feel.
What do you think, Anna? I mean, I've always thought that it's far easier to get a job when you have a job.
I mean, I've seen this with a lot of my friends who stayed home with the kids.
Yeah.
And now they want to go back, but the kids are older.
Hard to get back in.
Well, especially when you were already at a high point in your career. Because, you know, when you get offers and they're half of what you were making 10 years ago,
right.
You're like, wait a minute. Like,
I'm not taking that.
Right. So I could understand the appeal of if you're going back to where you were and it was similar. Is it similar pay to what you used to make? It's like the same level?
Yeah, but it's 10 years since then, so I should be making a lot more.
Right, but yeah, you don't have the experience to add on the 10 years of experience, you know, that would go along with
right.
that.
I mean, wouldn't it make sense if they're asking you to come back after all that time? Listen, I get it. A toxic workplace is like, it's like death every day going to work, right? Like, if you don't enjoy what you're doing, it's very, very difficult to do. At the same time, like, I mean, they are asking you back. Wouldn't it make sense for you to say, I'll come back, but these stipulations need to kind of be met, right? Like, I mean, even if you're not negotiating salary, you would think something could change there.
Well, what made it toxic? Let's start there.
Oh, my God. My boss was just, every single thing that I did was wrong. And then other people in the office would jump on and agree. It's like, I felt like I could never do anything right. And there was so much talking behind people's backs. It was like being in a high school. I'd rather be home with the kids. And it was long hours. You know, I didn't leave at 5. I'd be there till 7 o'clock. I could never do the right thing. But yet they're offering to take me back.
Okay.
I don't know.
But obviously you did something right that all this
right.
time later that they want you back.
Right.
But Allison, how long have you been looking for a new job now?
At least a year. I've been really putting myself out there. Yeah.
And that's like heartbreak every time. It's every time you get close, every time you get the interview, every time you've gone on a call. It's heartbreaking after that much time. This isn't the job you have to work the rest of your life. I mean, this is just a job that gets you back on track.
Right, but if it's so toxic, it's a real tough call. Let's see what the audience has to say. Would you go back to a job that was toxic if it would get you back in the working field again?
1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Would you go back to a toxic work environment if it was your only option to have work?
Mm.
That's what's going on with Allison and Eric and their disagreement. Allison, 10 years ago, left a toxic work environment where she made very good money. She did not get along with the boss. There was a lot of issues. But at the time, she was able to take the 10 years to raise her kids. And now that she wants to go back to work, she can't find a job.
Yeah.
She can't.
But it's been over a year.
Oh, yeah. She's been looking forever. But now that company has come back to her and offered her position back.
It's a tough situation, right? Because when you make the decision to leave something that's toxic, it changes your life. You feel so much better, right? Like everything is open to you, feel like you have opportunity to just thrive. And then to imagine yourself going back in that position, for Allison, this just sounds like the end of the world, right? But Eric is like, you know, financially, we're just here. I wish she didn't have to do this, but I think she needs to help, right?
And Eric makes really good points. You don't have to stay there forever.
Right.
But you take that back, you put it on your resume, it shows that even though you had a gap, your company took you back and you worked there for a year, and then you have more to go out and find another job, which makes a lot of sense. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Jim?
On the one hand, I'm very sympathetic with the wife. The environment that she described sounds a lot like my wife's environment. But I would tell Eric that if she's miserable, she's going to make your life miserable, and it's just not worth it. It doesn't sound like they need money, and let her go back and, you know, test the market, find another job, and see where she can reenter. But to have a wife that's miserable at work, miserable at home, and it's not worth it.
I will say, when I look back at my marriage over the last 20 years, the best times were when my husband was happy at work, and the worst times is when he was not happy at work.
Yeah.
And it goes hand in hand. It really, really does.
Yeah, the stress of not being at work, though, also a real thing.
100%.
Yeah.
Is right, because then you got to worry about your finances, and that's no fun.
And that stress is the one that's out of work big time, too, right? Like, it's all a mess.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a Couples Court. Would you go back to a toxic work environment if it may be your only shot to get back into the corporate workplace? That's what's going on with Allison and Eric. They're having a disagreement about it. Allison left her job 10 years ago because her boss was toxic. Mm-hmm. She didn't like the place she was working, and she took 10 years to raise her kids. For the last year, she's been looking for a job to get back into it. She has not been successful. And now that same company and her same boss have come to her to offer her her position back. And she doesn't want to take it.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because, you know, listen, Eric doesn't necessarily want her to go back and take this job. But he says, you know, maybe this is your way back in, right? You get into an office, you get back into the flow of things. You don't have to keep this job forever. And it puts you in a position to be successful again. I will say this. It's interesting that the boss comes back now unsolicited, offers you this job. It's, if you're looking for a year, it's beyond frustrating. It's also demoralizing, right? You don't feel good about yourself and you feel like it's never going to happen. This is a situation where maybe she has a little leverage, right? There's a reason they're asking her back. It's not for charity. She must be good at her job.
Same tricks.
Yeah.
You know, it starts off all right, and then you get... But I don't know. Knowing me, I would take it. Yeah, I would, 100%.
I mean, right. Yeah. You know, sometimes you have to do things that you don't want to do, and maybe the place has changed, but who knows, right?
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Sarah?
I honestly think she should not go back there, because... A toxic work environment consumes your life. And she put that chapter in the past. It's time for a new chapter. I honestly don't think she should go back at all.
Hey, Crystal, what do you think?
I think that she should take the job. I'm in a similar situation, and I had to take a job that I didn't want because I took 5 years off to take care of my kids also. And I don't want the job, but it's going to get me, you know, back in the groove of things.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I really think she should take the job just to help the situation out at home.
Yeah.
Thanks for the
call.
Thanks,
Crystal. It's such a hard decision.
They're both completely correct, right? Like,
yep.
You know, it invades every part of your life. On the other hand, so does financial strain.
Mm-hmm.
It's the biggest thing that's a problem for couples. Hey, Teresa, what do you think about this? Whose side are you on today?
I'm on the wife's side. I am in a toxic environment at work myself, 29 years, and mentally and physically, it will make her sick. Do not go back.
Hmm.
Do not do it. You have to take care of yourself.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Allison, our audience agreed with you. If you were so miserable there after 10 years of going back to work, why do you want to go back to somewhere that's going to make you so upset and sad? So keep looking, keep finding the right thing, and it'll eventually, you know, knock on wood, show up.
Great. Thank you.
I wish you luck. It's a very, very difficult situation to be in, Allison, and you're going to do just fine. But,
yeah,
you know, Eric, the stress felt, it's not just hers, right? So, obviously, you want your wife to be happy, but, you know, there's practical reasons here, too, for your wanting this.
Yeah, I mean, I wish she didn't have to go back. You know, I wish she didn't have to work at all. But the reality of the situation is we need another income right now. You know, I mean, everything's, prices are going up. I haven't gotten a raise in several years, and it's just, you know.
It's tough.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the reality.
Yeah, everybody understands. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we wish you the best. And if anybody else has an issue, send an email to couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Be Raven Cash Jackpot is $600 thanks to Leaf Filter. Protect your home and never clean out gutters again with Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system. Hi, Kim. You ready to play today?
I am.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, could you please leave the room?
You got it. Good luck, Kim.
All right. Raven's walking out of here. That door's going to close. You won't be able to hear us. I'm in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven, okay?
Okay.
Number 1, Carol Burnett will star as a guest in the upcoming 4th season of Hacks. Hacks won 3 Emmys, including Best Comedy. What network carries the series?
Hulu.
Number 2, Fenty Beauty launched their new Fenty hair products line in London. What pop star launched Fenty Beauty back in 2017?
Rhiannon.
Number 3, Justin Timberlake appeared on The Tonight Show and avoided talking about his DWI. Instead, he focused on his upcoming tour dates and his new Christmas song. Who currently hosts The Tonight Show?
Jimmy Fallon.
Number 4, Saturday Night Live premieres next weekend with host Gene Smart and musical guest Jelly Roll. They're celebrating a milestone season. What number is it?
Ooh, 50?
And number 5, Apple TV made a documentary about Oprah, but she didn't like the finished product, so she bought it back from them to keep it from airing. Tonight, in a widely publicized event, she'll be interviewing who?
Kamala Harris.
Let me bring Raven back in.
Yep.
4 out of 5 for Kim.
Wow, really good. Might be your moment. Let's see how I do.
Number 1,
Carol Burnett will star as a guest in the upcoming fourth season of Hacks. Hacks won 3 Emmys, including Best Comedy. What network carries the series?
Is it on Hulu?
No, it's on Max.
Yeah.
All right, you need all 4 of these to tie Kim, or she's going to win the $600.
That was very tricky of you because you know I don't watch that show.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm perfectly aware. Mm-hmm. Number 2, Fenty Beauty launched their new Fenty hair products line in London. What pop star launched Fenty Beauty back in 2017?
Rihanna.
That's right. Number 3, Justin Timberlake appeared on The Tonight Show and avoided talking about his DWI, and instead he focused on his upcoming tour dates and his new Christmas song, which is... Okay, who currently hosts The Tonight Show?
The Tonight Show is Jimmy Fallon.
That's right. I was saying it's very convenient when Jimmy Fallon happens to be your best friend.
Right.
And I'm not knocking him because my best friend told me to do that. I do the same thing.
I mean, right.
Right, number 4.
Right, wouldn't you? You can control the environment.
Saturday Night Live premieres next weekend with host Gene Smart and musical guest Jelly Roll. They're celebrating a milestone season. What number is that?
50.
Right. All right, it comes down to this last one. If you get it, Raven, you guys will tie at 4. If you don't, Kim will win $600. Apple TV Plus made a documentary about Oprah, and she didn't like the finished product, so she bought it back just to keep it from airing. Imagine having that kind of cash to be able to do it.
Oh, yeah, she could do whatever she wants.
Tonight, in a widely publicized event, she will be interviewing who?
Oh, gosh, I really have no idea. I'm going to take a shot. I'll say Kamala Harris.
That is correct.
Yeah! Oh!
Wow.
Oh! Well, you thought you had it, didn't you, Anna? I'm sorry for you, Kim. I'm sure you're a very nice person, and it was a great game. But...
Thank you. I was pressing my fingers hard.
Sneaky question. Thought you had it. So mad.
I also didn't think you knew about Kamala. Because actually, I don't think it has been widely publicized.
Who else would she be talking to?
I mean, I don't know.
There's nobody else that makes sense.
Maybe Kate Middleton?
No, that doesn't make any sense right now.
All right, Kim, I'm sorry. You guys tied at 4. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Thank you.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $700 tomorrow, Anna.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.